13:20 a.m. and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. New England's dealing with epic floods today, but it's especially bad in Vermont, which got one of the worst floods in nearly a century. Jennifer Morrison's with the state's Department of Public Safety.
We are still in the earliest stages of this disaster. Our focus is on saving lives. There are areas that are still being evacuated, and there are life-threatening isolations that we are trying to identify and rescue.
Intense heat is also an issue across the country. KCBS reporter Nicole Comstock's in L.A.
Local fire departments are warning people to be extremely careful outdoors.
Part of living in Southern California, right?
That's life. Take it as it comes, you can't change it.
So always important to keep in mind, especially if you'll be outdoors during the afternoon, to stay out of the sun as much as possible and stay hydrated.
But scientists say record heat worldwide is just a preview of worse extremes to come. Dr. Andrew Pershing is with a group called Climate Central.
We are living in the world that the climate modelers back in the 1980s and 90s were predicting. They said that if greenhouse gases continue to grow, we would have a planet where heat waves are much more likely, they're more severe, they're more intense, and they last longer. And they're going to continue to rise as long as we keep putting carbon dioxide into the atmosphere.
President Biden's calling the start of today's NATO summit in Lithuania a historic moment. Here's CBS's Tina Kraus.
Soon also be welcoming Sweden as a full-fledged member. So welcome to you.
President Biden cheered alongside his NATO allies after the Secretary General opened the NATO summit in Lithuania, announcing Sweden is next on deck to join the alliance after Finland became a member in April.
Ukraine will also join, but there's no timeline. A Senate panel is looking into the PGA's new merger with LIV Golf in Washington. Connecticut Democrat Richard Blumenthal.
It's about how a brutal, repressive regime can buy influence, indeed even take over a cherished American institution to cleanse its public image.
Some shocking new data shows students are even further behind than we thought. CBS's Jim Krasula.
Most public school students in the U.S. need an additional 4 months of schooling in reading and math to catch up with what they lost during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Are you ready for it?
Ticketmaster's got more Taylor drama.
Taylor Swift ticket sales for two cities in France had to be halted, all thanks to more glitches with Ticketmaster.
Look what you made me do.
The issues caused people to be unable to log into the website with their passwords. At one point, reports of more than 700,000 fans who were in the queue to purchase tickets.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail. The ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way. Offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wendy's is open till midnight or later, so you can give in to the craving and go night mode. Now all of your favorite menu items just got their bedtime extended. You can get what you want even later, like the Baconator with 6 strips of bacon or the perfect fries and frosty duo. If you're up later, then so are we. So go ahead and pull through the drive-thru. When the craving hits, go night mode at Wendy's. Open till midnight or later. All right, see ya later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary.
Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on WisCountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the sons of the pioneers to riders in the sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on WisCountry 105.5.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, July 12th. In Wood County, the City of Wisconsin Rapids Police and Fire Commission public meeting will take place at 7:30 a.m. in the first floor conference room at City Hall. The Wastewater Treatment Commission meeting will be held at 1:30 in their conference room. The Waterworks and Lighting Commission meeting will be in their conference room at 2. The Wood County Land Information Council will meet at 2 at the courthouse. In Portage County, the Central Housing Region will meet at 10 a.m. The Housing Authority Board of Commissioners will meet at 4, and the Land and Water Conservation Committee will meet at 7 p.m. In Adams County, the Public Safety and Judiciary Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the Adams County Courthouse, followed by the Board of Adjustment meeting at 10:30. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 57. Tonight, under cloudy skies, with a slight chance for scattered showers. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies. Tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 75. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow night, chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 56.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 75.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine, and you've got your host, James J. here. I am joined by our great friend, Kayla Rumbalski, community development educator with Wood County Extension. Kayla, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I am trying to get that down. I keep saying good morning to people. Good afternoon.
That's all right. It's a holiday week, and I have a hard time remembering what day it is, let alone what time it is.
Time is a flat circle. Yes, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter.
I've never heard that. That's a good expression. So,
Kayla, I hope that you had a good 4th. Speaking of the holidays and everything, has it been good to you?
Really good. My kiddos, who I sometimes talk about on air, are really into baseball. So we have been spending a lot of time playing ball in the backyard, going to local baseball games, and we're going to a Brewer game this weekend. So
nice.
We'll be Everett's first time in a big stadium. Yeah,
I've been to 2 games there, and it's while I got a lot of love for a lot of the parks out there, that's the most family-friendly park I've ever been in.
Yeah,
where I could go there with my friends, my guys, and go there and have the same good time that I go there with my kids.
Right,
it's such a cool, good atmosphere. You're gonna enjoy yourself.
Yeah,
you're gonna have fun.
I'm excited.
And when those fun vibes, that good feeling, you'll be able to carry with you into Science by the River 23.
Yes.
I love this event. I can't believe we're already here.
I know.
It wasn't that long ago that the last one was.
It's true. It's coming up. We still have a couple of months.
We got some time here.
We're not quite there yet, but we're in the planning stages. So,
and as we were just talking about time being a flat circle, you want to bookmark this stuff early,
right?
Because before
you
know it,
get
it'll
on
be
your
September.
Calendar. Yeah.
So, Science by the River for 2023 coming up September 30th. Real quickly, was the last Science by the River in September?
It was not. So last year it was in October. And, you know, we had beautiful fall weather the weekend before and the weekend after.
Yeah.
But the weekend of Science by the River, it was cold. It was rainy. It was not super enjoyable. I mean, it was still a great opportunity to be out by the river. Don't get me wrong. That part of it was great. But the weather was not so great.
I was really impressed with talking with people that attended the event and even talking with some of the kids that did. And while everybody did mention that, the weather, it would have been nice to have better weather, immediately following that with had a great time, or one of the kids said he learned this. And you know, so it's like typical Midwesterners. We can have a good time no matter what it is.
Right. Exactly.
We've learned to do that here.
Exactly.
But it's not a bad idea to move it maybe a month early.
Right. That was our hope. We could get bad weather in September. So we're just crossing our fingers that will be set. One of the primary reasons for the change in date is that we wanted to offer something different that we haven't done before with this event, which is a river cleanup volunteering event. So this would be for families, kids 16 years of age and older, and adults, and we'll actually get out in a boat on the river right here in downtown Wisconsin Rapids and do some river cleanup.
Where did this idea come from?
So this is something that the DNR does in other communities. They've done it in Wausau a few times with school groups. But we, this event, Science by the River, really focuses on harnessing the power of the Wisconsin River that runs right through our community in Wisconsin Rapids, but then also several other central Wisconsin communities. And not only is it harnessing, you know, that beauty and that power, literally and figuratively, mm-hmm. because it does lead to hydroelectric power mm-hmm. and that kind of thing, but making sure that we're taking care of that water resource and that we're protecting it for years to come. So as we talked about it as a committee, we really thought that doing a volunteer opportunity on the river was a nice complement to the event, and we're excited to offer that this year.
Few organizations I've learned more from than UW, and having the round table of guests that we have coming in. And one of the biggest things that I learned as a city boy and as somebody who doesn't have a whole lot of experience in nature and these things is the how much the world of conservation and things that you and Rachel and people do are connected, are intertwined, and how important. I kind of get, even as a city boy, how important conservation is and right. how important the earth is. And I like breathing, so trees seem pretty cool.
Yes, you know, exactly.
Even I'll I know some of this stuff. Yeah. But when it comes to the I don't think it's common knowledge how much conservation is a part of so much of these things that we do. I've learned this so much with our farmers and our ag industry, mm-hmm. and some of the biggest supporters of conservatory is our right. farming industry.
Right.
I love the combination of this. For anybody, no matter what the age, but specifically for kids, mm-hmm. the idea of kids growing up and seeing adults doing these actions, right. they're more likely to do them. We have the science of that. We didn't know plan enough. We know that data of that. Child sees adult do said thing. They grow up. They tend to grow up and do those things.
Right.
And this is another example of that, of showing how important it is to take care of this planet. We want it around for them. They want exactly. it around for them.
Yes.
These things all adds up. It all intertwines.
Right. Absolutely. And not only that, but from a, you know, kids seeing their parents and seeing adults in their lives doing things mm-hmm. perspective. The other part of this event that we're really excited about and that we like to feature is the idea of STEM careers. Yeah. So looking at, you know, this is, I should say, you know, sort of disclaimer off the bat. This is an event for all ages. So we talk about kids. It's not just focused on yeah. kids. Anyone can come. But we really want to highlight some of those STEM-focused careers, some of those trade-based careers, to give kids an opportunity to see that those are options mm-hmm. For them when they, you know, they get to the age where they're graduating from high school. Maybe they're thinking about going on to some sort of post-secondary training or going right into the workforce, that they could do things like, you know, the paper industry, which mm-hmm. is still alive in our community, or hydroelectric machine mm-hmm. operators and engineers, and all of those options are available to our youth.
It's interesting, Kayla. We had Midstate in before. We were talking with Ryan from Midstate, and him and I yeah. were talking about how one of the things I always like to bring up with Midstate is they do such a great job of getting you prepared for your job to right. go before you even flip that tassel over and graduate. A lot of times you have a gig lined up.
Yeah.
That's a very unique situation. I feel that STEM has been that for the education system.
Right.
That it has been that groundbreaking game changer that builds kids, whether they realize it or not, builds kids for the next level. Sometimes right. that's high school, sometimes that's college, but whatever the next level is for them, I think that it prepares them that much better for that.
Yeah. And I think it leads to, you know, well-rounded employees. Yeah. And it's important to get that experience as early as possible. So I in a past life, used to work very closely with a machining operation in Stevens Point. Mm. And it was, you know, one of those operations where he started in his garage and then it turned into a full-fledged business. And one of the things that he always said, he was a strong supporter of youth apprenticeship and those types of initiatives. And he would work with students in welding and machining and have students hate it. And he would say, no, this is not, you have not failed. This is not a disappointment. This is a positive thing because you know you don't want to do this.
Right.
Cross it off your list. You haven't gone to school yet. You've had the opportunity and now you can go move in a different direction. Or maybe you realize that you really like one specific part of it. Maybe you really like the CAD or the software-based part. Yeah. And so you're going to pursue that. So with this event, you know, getting families exposed to these types of opportunities as early as possible, I think is just helpful to help help those students in our community go on to local careers in our community.
Before we get too downstream, I was working all night on that. Before we do, though, let's to maybe people out there that don't know this event, let's touch on the event, what it is to those that may not know.
Right. Thanks for bringing us back on task. You know, we can wander.
Yeah, we can.
Upstream.
We can.
Yes, downstream. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
You set it up for me. I just stole it. But so Science by the River, it is a festival. It's part of the Wisconsin Science Festival, which happens primarily in Madison, but also across the state every year at the end of October. And the whole point of the event is to celebrate science and curiosity for not only Wisconsin Rapids residents, but for residents of central Wisconsin as a whole. So this is our third year of this event. It takes place along the Wisconsin River in Wisconsin Rapids. So it goes from the farmers market area right there on the bridge, all the way down to Ben Hansen Park on the other end. So it's about a 2-mile stretch. There are kind of three parts of the event this year. So there's that river cleanup. We'll be looking for volunteers to sign up for that in advance. And we'll be doing that in the morning. And then from 11 to 2, there are discovery stations. So our discovery stations are hosted by organizations or clubs, groups that have a STEM-based initiative or a STEM-based focus who want to share that with the public. So you can host, organizations who are interested can host that discovery station. Many of our discovery station hosts offer some sort of interactive activity. So last year we had the library, Carrie Priest, who is our children's librarian, offered a sink or float activity for kids. Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, their science department always does something really fun. This year I think there's marshmallow catapults in store. Ooh. So learning that's a little cool. bit about physics as you design your own catapult. And I believe that that's a take-home project as well.
Nice.
So something that people can take away from the event. And so we encourage families and participants to travel that trail in whatever way makes sense for them. So you can certainly walk or bike that distance. Each year we have a bike checkout station at the farmer's market and then also over at Ben Hansen. So you can do the rental bike if you don't have your own and rent the bike and ride from one location to the other. There's also a lot of convenient parking. So if you are someone who has mobility concerns or issues, you certainly can park along the route. And then, of course, walking it. Yeah. And it's a beautiful trail. It's a great chance to get outside and enjoy nature.
I know last year, I don't know if the previous year, but I know last year I talked to some people that they didn't necessarily interact with a lot of this stuff, but they walked the trail. They wanted to see what was going on. They wanted to check it out and observe a lot of this. Even that can be insightful and learn some things from, if you don't feel comfortable or don't have the time to interact with some of these, you know, stations. I encourage you to take the path, take the walk. It's always a nice walk for one.
Right.
It's a great path, that you're going to be taking, but you're going to be supporting this event as well, and that means just as much.
Exactly.
We have for years now talked about buying local, supporting local, and the importance of that. We don't get the chance very often to talk about supporting local education, and that's just as important as a local business.
Right. Yeah.
With this event, it's also free. We love that word. We like to mention that. But it is a free event, so keep that in mind as well. That it's something that you don't necessarily have to walk into the event. No, I got to have cash for this, or I have to, you know, do I have my card on me or whatever? You know, that's just something to just come and bring your brain. That's what we want. We want you to bring that brain of yours, that beautiful brain. One other thing I want to make sure to mention, in part because I love the name, Tap Talks.
Yes. So that is
such a good name.
It is. It really is. That's the third part of the event. So for primarily the adults who are interested, we offer Tap Talks at Bee's Tap House and Two Doors Down Brewing. We don't know the Tap Talks yet, but we will announce those as we get closer to the event. I can tell you that last year we had Tap Talks on the Wisconsin River, so on the history of the Wisconsin River, on the history of Wisconsin Rapids, kind of tied into that, and the connection to Grand Rapids, also on the water quality and the sustainability that comes around water quality in the Wisconsin River. And Scott Provost from the DNR is the one who gave that Tap Talk, and Scott is just a really engaging speaker.
Scott's great.
Definitely was really informative. And then we also had a Tap Talk being at Bee's Tap House, Two Doors Down Brewing, on the science of brewing, which is another thing. You know, like you think about these STEM careers, but so often ag and then also, you know, production in terms of whether it's beer, coffee, you know, shrub, I think like, or ketchup, those types of things all require science as well. So, yeah, so join us for those Tap Talks for sure.
And again, those will be at Bee's Tap House.
Right.
Be sure to keep, we'll keep an eye out for that. We're going to be talking about this event plenty as we build up to it here at the station. So we'll let you know who those speakers will be, you know, and other details about the event as we get closer to it.
So we are in the planning stages right now, as you said. You know, we'll let you know as we get closer and things are more solidified. But right now, we are looking, our goal is to double the number of Discovery stations that we had in years past. We really want it to be along that 2 mile trail that you can see the next station from the station you're at.
That's cool. I like that.
So that's our goal. We'll see if we get there. We're hoping that we will. And so this is my request to listeners is if you are a part of an organization that has a STEM focus and has information that you want to share, please come out and join us. It's free to be a vendor or a Discovery Station host. We just ask for your time. And it's a really fun way to interact with families and a different audience maybe than you have been accustomed to in the past. So I mentioned earlier McMillan Library, the Wisconsin Rapids Public School District, the DNR will be there. They'll have their fish, their boat and their fish demo again. Gives kids a chance to see muskies up close if they don't come from a family of fishermen and fisherwomen. So lots of cool opportunities, but we're also looking to groups, you know, like club-based groups or lake associations. This is your chance to kind of talk about your mission and talk about what you're doing.
I know that in years past, we've had some different organizations, nonprofits, and you mentioned Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools being a part of this event. I would think if you are somebody, a vendor or anybody that or somebody that has something that along these lines, this is not only a great way to promote that and put that out there, but also for you to interact with the community. You to be able to interact, maybe and talk to people, like you said, that you may not always get a chance to and interact and work with them. It's a unique thing to be able to offer to people that not a lot of areas have. This event is that unique and that cool about that, where it goes with that, especially given the trails that we have here and obviously the Wisconsin River pulling right through. It all adds up to a wonderful event, a really fun time. If people want to sign up for the volunteering when it comes to the cleaning of the river, how can they do that, Kayla?
So that is not posted yet, but you can expect to see that on the United Way's volunteer website. So United Way of Southwood and Adams County, you can sign up there, or you can sign up right on the Science by the River webpage. And I'll give you you know, this is the thing that James and I always talk about is how to share websites over the radio. Yeah. So the Science by the River webpage is actually part of the Wisconsin Science Festival webpage. So it's a very long link. So I'm going to give you the Facebook page because it's easier to find us there. So it's facebook.com/scienceby the river, right? Pretty easy. Or search for Science by the River and you'll see it there. And we will post, as we get closer to the event, all of the volunteer opportunities, the vendor sign up for what I was just talking about, the Discovery Station sign up will be there, as well as the Tap Talk schedule and all of the event details.
We're speaking with Kayla, community development educator with Wood County University of Wisconsin Madison Division of Extension. And Kayla, with this event going on, and we've talked about it, there's a lot of building still going on for the event itself. Are there other projects, other things that you're working on alongside this for either the future or for current, you know, coming up or anything?
Yeah. So Science by the River is kind of a unique event for Extension because it involves a couple of our staff members at Extension. Yeah. So myself in community development is working on it, as well as Anna James, who is our water resource
Anna's
specialist.
Awesome.
Yeah, she has a big part of this event as well, and definitely a big part of her heart for water quality and for water resources. So excited to partner with her, as well as our FoodWise nutrition staff are interested in being a part of the event and have been in the past. I was just talking to Hannah, and she has accessed a blender bike for the event. Yeah.
Whoa.
So she's going to be there and we'll give folks the opportunity to make their own smoothie that is pedal powered. I mean,
oh,
how cool
gosh.
Is that?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Well, I think we buried the lead.
Right.
I think
right.
we should start the interview with this.
See,
I think.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that. So this event is really in terms of events, it's kind of in its infancy. So the first year it was planned by my predecessor, Rachel Whitehair.
Yeah, yeah.
She did an awesome job. And then she moved on to bigger and better opportunities. Last year, I came on board sort of right as we were looking into the event. So we planned it and pulled it off in about 6 weeks, which is crazy in the event planning world. And so this year we are getting an early start and we're excited. The committee that we have that's made up of really dedicated volunteers from many of the organizations I just talked about and more are super excited to see this event grow and really become what we're viewing it as is we want it to be a destination event for the region. So not only for Wisconsin Rapids, but for all of our surrounding communities because there is not, there are some smaller science events and more, you know, like Mid-State, for example, or UWSP might host science events. But there's really not a Wisconsin Science Festival event in this part of the state. So we're kind of excited to grow bigger and better.
Talking with Rachel about this recently, telling her, because I told her that we're going to be talking about this and stuff, and she just got so excited and was so happy to hear that and was talking about how, well, the hope was always that this event would grow and get bigger and bigger and more people would interact with it. And sure, you know, sure enough, that's what's happening. That is the way it's going. You have helped get it that direction and help steer it in that way. But we can't do it alone. We want you out there. We want you to be a part of this event. And I gather if you are on the fence about, well, I don't know if what we could do or what we could offer or how we apply. I think we do, but I'm not sure. It can't hurt to ask.
Right.
There's no harm,
Give
no foul.
Give me a call.
You know?
I'd be happy to talk through it. So we have some very basic guidelines for who we're asking to host Discovery Stations. You know, we ask that you have some sort of STEM focus or STEAM focus, which includes arts. So, you know, very loosely, I think a lot of organizations could fall under that. And we, like I said, we just want to grow bigger and better than ever before. And each year we plan to keep improving.
I think it's a good idea to give them an example. Like, for instance, Kayla had to turn me down. The Science of the Simpsons class that I wanted to do, I was told that is not actual science. That's just me rambling about the Simpsons. Doesn't really add up. Nobody really wants to hear that. That's an example of things that won't work. But anything else, sure, almost, you know, probably will fit.
Yeah, examples of things that would work. You know, I gave the example of the sink or float activity earlier. We have also had interest from Mid-State to feature some of their programs, cool, and showcase some of those things that students and families may not know it is available. We have a stream table lined up, mm-hmm, I think. So we'll be looking at just what happens to groundwater and rainwater and that kind of, mm-hmm, thing, and looking at that full cycle. So lots of opportunities. Or, you know, groups like Isaac Walton League, or if there's a local fishing club, mm-hmm, or, you know, those types of groups are invited as well.
I come from a builder family, a construction family, and many of you out there, I know you build stuff. I know you may cook. You do different things like this. All of us understand how great it feels to work and to put your blood, sweat, and tears into something. The earth is the same. When you get done helping, being a volunteer, cleaning up the river or any of these things, I promise you, and I only use that word if I can back it up, you're going to feel that same feeling from the putting back into your community, doing something like that. Can't encourage you enough to volunteer for this and to be a part of Science by the River. Kayla, if people want to know more, they want to reach out to you to see if they might be a good fit for this, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so that Facebook page I mentioned earlier, so again, facebook.com/sciencebytheriver is a good way to get in touch with us. You'll find many of our contact information there for the planning committee. And then also, you're always welcome to email or call and get in touch with me directly. So my email is K Rombalski, that's R-O-M as in Mary, B as in boy, A-L-S-K-I, @wisc.edu.
Such a good name. You got a great name. It's a pretty name, yeah. Kayla, we always enjoy talking with you. Thank you so much for the time.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Likewise. Thank you.
Well, and more Midday Magazine right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Wisconsin State Patrol troopers will catch a ride with semi-truck drivers this week. They're partnering up to help reduce the number of crashes and injuries involving commercial motor vehicles. Troopers will ride along with Wisconsin Motor Carrier Association drivers to spot traffic violations. Trooper in a Truck is part of Operation Safe Driver Week. They're aiming to improve driving behaviors of passenger vehicles around semi-trucks to reduce the number of crashes that occur. On average, 7,000 crashes involving large trucks happen in Wisconsin each year. Last year, 73 people died in those incidents. Despite being out-hit last night 10-8, the Rafters smothered the Mallards, winning 10-5. They're on a two-game winning streak, improving 3-4 overall in the second half. They play the Mallards in Madison tonight, first pitch at 6:05. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR, Civic Media News.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 57. Tonight, under cloudy skies, with a slight chance for scattered showers. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies, tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms, highs level off around 75. Mainly cloudy skies expected, tomorrow night, chance for scattered thunderstorms, lows dip down to about 56. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 75.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 11th, 2023. It is 3:30 on the clock. I'll get this right one day. We want to welcome in our good friend, Lindsay Scheider. She is Director of Business Development and Real Estate Professional over Coldwell Banker Sear Realtors. It's time to Let's Talk Real Estate. Lindsay, good morning.
Good morning, or afternoon.
Good afternoon. I knew I was going to do that. Already know we record this in the morning. It's good to have you here. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm well. Thanks, James, for having me.
We want to address something right out the gate. For years, this segment has existed, and we've done this segment with our good friend J.R. Seward. The last time you guys joined us, we talked about the transition that was taking place, and Lindsay's going to be joining us going forward now. But we do want to thank J.R. for all the months and the decades of work that he has done in this area for our community and hanging out with me and Carl and so many others over the years on this show. We greatly appreciate that work, and we're really looking forward to working with you, Lindsay.
Absolutely. I'm excited to be here. And yeah, we're grateful for everything that JR has done and will continue to do for our company over at Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors. He continues to work in an advisory role as we transition, and he's still working as an agent for people who are looking to buy and sell in the area.
And Lindsay's keeping up a very strong tradition of not only joining us with important information for our community and giving us insight that only you can get from Coldwell Banker, but also outdressing me like JR would do. In my defense, it's a laundry day. It's in my defense. But JR, you both always come in looking like top of the nine, sir.
Well, you look great. I don't know what you're talking about.
Lindsay, if you don't mind, I like to put people on the spot. I mean, ask origin story questions. Do you mind telling us a little bit about yourself so the audience knows a little more about you?
Absolutely. So I am originally from this area, born and raised, actually in the town of Rome area, and I did go to school in the Wisconsin Rapids area. My parents still live here. My in-laws live here. So we're just a big, happy family in this community, and we love it here. I did go away to school. I went to UW Eau Claire.
Nice.
I have a degree in organizational communications with a minor in math. And that took me to Minneapolis right after graduation. I worked at an advertising agency where I worked my way up. They were a direct response ad agency. So we started in radio. So there's a little bit of history with the radio background of things. And then I worked my way up to being a TV producer. We did TV commercials. So that was a fun thing to experience. And then when it was time to start a family, I moved back to my hometown with my husband, and we have two children, and they're getting old fast. I mean, older, I should say.
It happens way too fast.
I know,
way
it does. Too fast. So my oldest will be starting middle school this year. My littlest is still in elementary school, but they're in everything under the sun, baseball, softball, soccer, cheerleading, all the things. And so we enjoy doing those things and watching them along the way.
Greatly appreciate that. Thanks for sharing that, Lindsay. And I think it's also noteworthy, not only because all that's very cool, and I would love to talk to you hours about your career path and everything, but certainly you being a local, we love that around here. But we also, not only because we like supporting our locals, but it shows the investment that you have when you're finding homes or helping sell homes for people. This is your community, too. You live here, too. Your kids go to school here. It matters on a different level, I think, than just a job or just a profession. I am curious, what got you into real estate?
So that's an interesting story. So our current managing broker, Jennifer, actually was assisting my husband and I with the sale of a home when we were transitioning to just a bigger space as we were growing our family. And she saw something in me at that time. I mean, that was actually we just had our 10-year anniversary in our home here at the beginning of July. So that was 10 years ago that Jennifer and I connected in a professional capacity as I was her client. But she saw something in me and kind of told me right away that you'd be great in real estate. So I mulled that over a little bit while I was spending time with my young children at home, and then kind of dove straight in. The goal was to tippy toe into the business, and that is not what happened at all. It was 0 to 60, but I don't regret any minute. I'm excited to be part of our family of companies here at Coldwell Banker, and the synergy of what has happened over the course of the 10 years of me being in this industry is really exciting.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And I can hear it in your voice. That's very cool. That's very cool. It shows. Lindsay, we like to usually start with JR with a market update. If you don't mind, we'll go right there first.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I brought quite a bit of data with us today just to remind the listeners that we have this new transition with our brokerage that, you know, we have the Wisconsin Rapids office, the Town of Rome office, and the Adams Friendship office. Mm-hmm. And we really just cover the span of, you know, all the way up from Stevens Point down to the Wisconsin Dells. So I kind of brought a gamut of numbers for us to discuss and some interesting things for us to talk about.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll start in the greater Wisconsin Rapids area.
Sounds good.
So the average sold price continues to rise. It is up from right around $175,000 to right around $180,000 year over year. So if we're looking at that same time span of the beginning of the year through June, the ending of June here, since we're in July, that has risen over, you know, $5,000 over that past year. So that's great to see. We're also seeing that some of the number of homes being sold, we're still a little bit down year over year. So last year, from January to June, was 216 homes sold. And this time frame of this year of 2023, from January to June, is right under 200. But I do want to say that you know, even though it's still down, it's not as significant as we were seeing before.
Yeah.
That year-over-year gap is starting to close, which is a great sign. Where, in addition to, like we're talking about, those prices still being up and sellers still getting above asking price when those multiple offer situations are being created in the market.
What about the Adams County area? How about that?
So the Adams County, I was looking over the entire space just because Town of Rome, of course, and Adams Friendship live in that county.
Yeah.
But that average sales price is also up. We're up from $243,000 up to just over $275,000 for our average sales price. So that continues to rise as well. In addition to the number of properties sold, we were at 225 sold last year, January to June, and this year we're at 179 January to June of this year. And we are holding like steady on the list to sales price ratio across the county of Adams, that we're right under 100%. So again, those sellers are still kind of getting at or very close to what they're asking.
And finally, the Town of Rome.
So the Town of Rome is just a very interesting pocket of homes, just because we have the, you know, the lakes, the amenities, and things like that. But these numbers are a little mind-boggling, to be honest with you. Our average sales price is up again. It used to be last year at this time, it was $325,000, and we are up to just under $400,000. And just keep in mind to the listeners that's the average sales price. So when we're looking at some of the outliers of those high sale prices that we're finding, especially those waterfront homes, they are hitting the market, they're getting snatched up, you know, and we're... The summer market is really just continuing to hold that low inventory, meaning not that we, like we're seeing with our numbers of the number of sold, we have houses to sell, but they're entering the market and going under contract really quickly. So they're really no longer part of like that active inventory. And then we still have that high buyer demand.
I like you, Lindsay, my first, well, not an origin story, but not from here originally, but when I first moved up here, I spent my first handful of years in the Rome area. And as a kid, it always seemed like such a beautiful area, but my papa would talk about it all the time, that eventually there's going to be houses all along here. They'd even point to a stretch of land or something like that. And I hadn't been out there in a long time, and I would say right after the pandemic kind of opened things up again and stuff, I took a drive out there to check things out.
And it was just a whole different world to me. Mm-hmm. I did not realize how much that area had blown up.
Yeah.
It makes sense with the rise of Sand Valley and so many other great things in the Rome area. And obviously, you hit it on the head right away. Even without any of that, you're always going to have those lakes and that lakefront mm-hmm. property, which is always going to be a very valuable thing.
Yeah.
So some of this stuff makes sense. And even with all that, it's still mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. It is still a little surprising to see that. Even with all these factors playing in, I don't think we're... It's interesting when you're surprised and not at the same time, you know, it's an interesting thing there that's going on with not only Rome, but all these areas.
Yeah. Well, I think it feels like a really quick correction in the market that these prices are going up really fast. But really, when you think about, right, a home for most people is considered an investment because it appreciates over time. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding is that actually, if we kind of remove the dip of like 08, 09, when we kind of had mm-hmm. that housing depression, that if you take the average increase, which on average nationwide, not specifically in our market, but average, it's 5% increase year over year is what a home is likely to appreciate. Hmm. And so if we take that line from, if we just kind of delete that nice little depression that we had mm-hmm. and we take our 5%, we're actually very much in line with where we should be without that depression. But we're just making a very quick correction. And I would say also that across these market areas, that our housing has still been really affordable. Mm. Like when you look at lake properties outside of our pocket of central Wisconsin, even just southern Wisconsin, you know, waterfront homes mm-hmm. like are exponentially more expensive. Mm-hmm. So even, you know, we just had really, really affordable housing, and now we're correcting to be more in line with what that market can hold.
Speaking with Lindsay Scheider, Director of Business Development and Real Estate Professional with Coal Banker Sear Realtors. And Lindsay and I are going to be just fine working together. Right on my notes, is the market evening out? That was my first question after this. So it does seem like that, though. It does seem like that is happening right now.
I mean, I guess that it depends on what you mean by evening out.
Yeah, I should have made it more specific. Evening out in these particular zip codes, evening out in this area. Like I always like to mention, when it comes to real estate especially, it's like baseball. It's a rural thing. Mm-hmm. The more local, it's a local thing to yep. people. When you see the national headlines or you see, you know, the big, you know, news outlets talking about a story, I don't say that you shouldn't listen to it and research or what have you, but take in mind that everything is different by zip code when it comes to this industry.
Absolutely. So I have a brother who lives out in California, and even just the home values of what the house is, like the nuts and bolts of like the number of bedrooms and bathrooms or the square footage, you take that house from California that might be priced in the millions
mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
And you just transplant that to central Wisconsin or vice versa, the values are so catastrophically different. Yeah. And so I think that's a positive thing for mm-hmm. us here in central Wisconsin, that we have affordable housing, even though we feel like we're getting pinched a little. I mean, a positive thing for our sellers, of course, anyone who's looking to sell. An amazing time to think about that.
You know, let's go right to that, Lindsay. Let's get into the value that you guys offer to a buyer, to a seller who is looking to get into this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are seeing in the industry that just because of the fast-paced market, competitive seller's market that we're in, we find sellers that may find themselves asking, like, why do I even need a realtor, right? Like, and valid question, and I would love to talk about that. but there's so many different reasons that an agent can make your life, your transaction, the selling of your home, the transition of it all, go more easily and actually help your pocketbook as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, my number one reason that I had here noted was just a seller who chooses to work with a well-trained professional, such as our team, of course, at Coldwell Banker, Seaward Realtor Agents, and across our family of companies, you're more likely to get more money for your property. Mm-hmm. You know, sellers and agents are going to work hand in hand to set that asking price. And ultimately, really in the market, of course, a reminder to us all that the buyer will set a sales price. But when you price your home too high, you can miss out on potential buyers. But pricing your property at a fair market value from the start is going to generate just more activity from the local agents that are working with home buyers, as well as home buyers looking on their own. And you know, enough to attract enough attention to result in showings, and then, of course, ideally, an offer for your property.
You had me at more money. It sounds good. Sign me up. In all seriousness, we want you to get every penny you deserve for mm-hmm. that home. Mm-hmm. And by going to professionals, that's how that happens. Mm-hmm. You don't have to necessarily believe us. This is a search engine away. You look at the statistics, it tells you. It's overwhelming how many people are more satisfied with their sale of their home when they go through a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. It's overwhelming the differences of people doing this. And the horror stories I hear from people that did this on their own, mm-hmm. thought they had their T's crossed, their I's dotted, and then this. And it's always something. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of somebody doing this on their own and everything going completely smoothly, mm-hmm. which is what we're looking for with one of the more difficult transitions that we have here. Yep. Going from home to home or home to apartment or what have you mm-hmm. isn't easy. And having a trusted real estate agent with you along this process is not just somebody to hold your hand. It's somebody that you can vent to, talk to, mm-hmm. that you can bounce ideas off of. When you have those weird, crazy questions at midnight, you can send an email off to and everything. Like, you're a confidant as much as your brains are important in this, your shoulders are too, and being there for people. I know that JR and the team over there did that for my mom and dad, and their first ever home purchase. I've never seen my mom and dad more nervous about anything, and I've mm-hmm. seen them through some tough times, and JR was literally with them through the whole process, mm-hmm. calming my mother down about that and everything.
Absolutely. We are able to guide a seller just through every part of the transaction. I mean, and to your point, you know, like if a seller is looking for a quick sale, we can help with the expedientness of the sale, reducing that amount of hassle, whether it's during the time that you're listed or when you're under contract. I mean, as agents, we're really just trained to ask the right questions, communicate the right details, and make that transition as smooth as possible. And that also goes into just some properties can benefit from some pre-listing prep.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes that, you know, a for sale by owner, a person maybe wouldn't consider or think about, but that is another avenue of support and advice that an agent can present and bring to the table, whether it's a pre-listing inspection, some updates or repairs, to just even some simple decluttering or home staging, all possible ways to just prep your house, have it ready for sale, and then hopefully elicit, you know, a higher sales price. And we would love to, you know, assist with that every step of the way.
Mm-hmm. As far as the knowledge that you guys bring to this, I don't know if we've mentioned this, but Coldwell Banker has been around a long time doing this. And you don't just get the agent that you're, you know, assigned to, or the agent that, you know, takes your house. You are getting the whole team. The whole mm-hmm. team works together, mm-hmm. shares information, works together, leans on each other. So you've got all of that going into this.
Absolutely.
What are some other things as far as that goes, Lindsay, before we go to buyers?
Yeah, absolutely. Just to put the elephant out in the room, people just think that it's just easy, right? You snap some photos, mm-hmm. you add some mm-hmm. information, and then you just wait for closing day. It's interesting that is the perception of the general public, that it's just easy to do that. But there is so many different steps, and I won't bore you with all of them, but there's a laundry list of steps that happen through a real estate transaction. It comes with many moving parts, timelines, different professionals involved, as far as inspections and closing agents, settlement agents. And we love to think of your agent as your tour guide for each step of that sale. And you know, each step really requires its own expertise and focus and communication, not to mention a few pieces of paperwork. And so just keeping things moving forward and making sure that the agent is involved during that life cycle of your sale.
So as far as that the seller goes, Lindsay, is there some other things you want to touch on? Because we got about 5 minutes left. Maybe we get into buyers the next time we get together.
Okay, yep, that sounds good.
If that sounds good to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we can take a little more time with the seller end of things. Because I know you had some more information on that.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to talk about like the full service marketing that we offer. That at Coldwell Banker, we design a winning marketing strategy for the property. We are experts at being proactive, using an arsenal of marketing and sales techniques to market your property. And we are just advertising it everywhere. We're advertising on the multiple listing service, the database. So that's, you know, is something that all agents in our area have access to. It all also automatically shares information across to any home buyer who has a trusted agent working on their behalf. So to dive into the buyer side just for a second, that if you have an agent working on your behalf looking for properties, that likely will set you up on what's called a home watch so that properties can be disseminated to you quickly, easily, as soon as they hit the market. And so that is a great way and a very encompassing way to market across the whole internet. We have you marketed social media, just so many advertising avenues to make sure that we're maximizing the number of people that are going to see your property.
I had the chance to do this show with JR for a number of years, and it's one of my favorite half an hours of the month because I love learning, and I love learning about subjects that I don't know much about. Other than as an actor playing a real estate agent, I don't know that I've ever needed the info, but I love it, and I love learning all this stuff. All that being said, there is still a lot of jargon that I don't even know, and I don't understand. I think that that's a big part of why you go to a real estate agent as well, the contracts, the lingo.
Absolutely. I mean, the contracts necessary to buy and sell, they're lengthy and they're detailed. They are drafted by lawyers. So some of them get a little tricky, but we as the Coldwell Banker family of companies, we really know them like the back of our hand. We work with these contracts every day. We know what's important and how to get creative to adjust them when we need to. And to your point, absolutely. There is definitely some industry jargon that is used in the documents. Sometimes it can feel like a foreign language to people that are outside of our industry. But we, as real estate agents, we take the time to explain the purpose of these documents, answer questions to anything that you don't understand, and making sure that we're clarifying those terms that you're ultimately agreeing and signing. You know, it's important to understand what you're signing, and we want to make sure that we communicate that correctly.
It's nice to know with arguably the biggest and most important purchase you're going to make as far as size of this and importance and everything, that you guys are with them every step. Yes. You guys who follow, you're right there, side by side.
Yep. I mean, if anyone is wishing that they have someone to walk them through this process or you negotiate on their behalf, you know, have your best interests at heart, even like you said, you know, go to for sound advice, like look no further. We are here. The Coldwell Banker family of companies. We are here to do exactly that, to be there every step of the way for each and every one of our clients.
As far as our market update went, we certainly want to send a big shout out to some people over there before we wrap up today.
Absolutely. We would love to give a huge shout out to our associates. We have been working hard to bring more listings to the market, draft competitive offers for our buyers, successfully negotiate for our sellers, and just really use our market knowledge as power for our customers and clients. We're excited to be doing this for our community, and we would love to help anyone who is considering buying and selling.
You did it, Lindsay. That's it. That's your first episode. You got it down, and you did great. That was awesome. You killed it. Wonderful job.
Thank you.
If people have follow-up questions, want to know more, how can they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. So for further information, feel free to call our Coldwell Banker Seward Seward Realtors office at 715-424-4800.
Lindsay Scheider, Director of Business Development and Real Estate Professional with Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors. Looking forward to another episode next month of Let's Talk Real Estate. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thanks, James.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The rain may have stopped, but millions are still dealing with major flooding problems from downpours in the Northeast. Vermont's got the brunt of it. Here's Governor Phil Scott.
We are not out of the woods. This is nowhere near over. And at this phase, our primary focus continues to be on life and safety before we can shift into a recovery phase.
Out west, people are battling more brutal heat. Dr. Frank LaVecchio is in Phoenix, where people are streaming into the ER with heat-related illnesses, including asphalt burns.
When it's 100 degrees out, the pavement is usually like 160 degrees.
And in Florida, people are flocking to beaches to cool off, but it's not helping. Bobby Banks is in Deerfield.
The water was pretty cold all the time. Like, even in the summer, on like some of the hottest days, you still would step into the ocean and feel like, whew, and get that it's pretty cold. But now it feels kind of like a heated pool.
The water around Key Largo is about 98. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says Ukraine could join soon.
We will issue an invitation for Ukraine to join NATO when allies agree and conditions are met.
CBS's Nancy Cordes.
There isn't necessarily unanimity on exactly what Ukraine would have to do to become a member and how quickly. And because there's concern that if they were to lay that out so specifically that it was clear to Russia that Ukraine would become a member as soon as this war was over, that perhaps it would give Russia an incentive to prolong.